Welcome, councillors. There's no members of the public here, so that are registered, and also to our staff. I declare the meeting open at 4 minutes past 6 p.m. Tuesday, 25th of May, World Council meeting. I know all the councillors are present. So can I ask you please to be upstanding for the council prayer? Lord, we humbly beseech thee to vouchsafe thy blessing on this council. Direct and prosper its deliberations for the advancement of this area and the true welfare of its people. Amen. Please be seated. I would also like to acknowledge the Wangal people, who are the traditional custodians of this land, and pay my respects to elders both past and present. I note there's a recording of the meeting as per the Government Information Act of 2009. There's no apologies, leave of absence, any declarations of, by councillors. I just note, sorry.
Councillor, did
you turn it on? Kels, yes, he is. Declarations of interest. I'll declare a non-pecuniary, less than significant conflict of interest, 36/21 Burley Street, Elizabeth Street car park. Revitalisation project, as my wife's relative owns, I don't know the address and I can't see, owns a commercial building on Railway Parade, which I think adjoins the car park, but that's already built, so it's not, it's one of those new ones that was built. I don't know the exact address. I don't know. Anyway, I'll try to find the address. Actually, I might ask him. Any other declarations of interest?
Oh, yeah, just one, 33/21, regarding Unity Place. The organisation, Geographical Names Board, I'm a board member. However, I did not vote on the matter at that board.
Did we get that? Did you have your mic on there, councillor? You did? Okay. We got that? Okay. All right, no other any declarations of political donations? Recording of councillors voting on planning decisions. I'm not sure if we've got planning matter tonight, but anyway, confirmation of minutes. Being moved by Councillor Chan, seconded by Councillor Manor. Put the motion, all those in favour. Those against, I declare that carried. There is no speakers registered for the open forum. There's no speakers registered for agenda items. There's no submissions that have been lodged before the meeting on any of the agenda items. Okay, so Merrill Minutes. I'm not going to read through every Merrill Minute because we have a workshop after the council meeting. So unless there's questions. So the first one is 9/21, alternative waste collection arrangements for residential mixed-use developments. This one just simply deals with the fact that while we have a waste strategy, which is trying to encourage more people to recycle, I think we've got to look at alternative methods and solutions in residential and commercial strata buildings. I think it's not viable to continue to have, you know, on council garbage days, pickup days, 30, you know, yellow bins and 15 small garbage bins. They've obviously got strata managers. They've got property managers that have to manage their garbage and waste and strata works. We've got to move them to some type of strategy where they have larger recycling bins and larger garbage bins. And maybe we need to look at also part of our conditions of consent now for development applications, waste strategy plans with those development applications. How are they going to have the occupiers or the strata body corporate of that development or the commercial shops have a strategy to, have its occupants recycle more, possibly to have different waste strategies. We've got compost bins now that we're actually handing out and compost kits that we're handing out in strata unit apartment blocks. Any ideas from any councillors? Happy to hear those as well. Might even be a good idea to run a workshop. I'm sick and tired of driving down Dean Street and seeing, the Hungry Jacks continually have their large bins sitting out there, or even in Youth Lane, next to the PCYC. It's supposed to be a lane. All the shop owners continue to have their garbage bins out. We just got to understand that now we're trying to create a high pedestrian town centre, which is bringing more people. We're spending close to $200,000 a year on our safe and clean teams to keep the place neat and tidy. We're spending millions of dollars on upgrading our town centre through the beautification projects. And we have these bin days that, bins and rubbish are out, and then you've got the ibis around as well, so they start picking it all out. I mean, you only need to drive through on Belmore Street, for example. So we definitely, there's got to be, and new developments should be having some form of waste strategy plan where the trucks can actually drive in to the basement. They might have to get the smaller trucks for those developments. You might allow them to go to a commercial waste system rather than the council system like the shop owners do for strata buildings. You have a small truck now that can go into those basements and they can have a collection point in the basement. Or if they're going to put it out onto the strip, even for the existing strata developments now, we should move them to a different waste service where you've got the larger bins. Any questions or ideas? Councillor, I noticed you might have had something. No? Councillor Crichton?
Just in the review, if we could also, it might be appropriate to consider the recycling of garments as well. I recently heard a talk from local government New South Wales about Cotton King, and there's a lot of money to be made in them capturing the garments, but it really helps everyone as well. It gives it the clothing another lease of life, or it's broken down. It just goes to Punch Bowl. It's really close by. And actually, Robert Ferullo, who lives locally but has been a state member of parliament, he's very involved in the project, and I'd like to suggest that we get him in and hear from him. And the other issue that concerns me too is in a lot of the developments, I don't think there'd be any capacity actually to clean the bins, and often when I walk past the bins that are left out, they are filthy. And so maybe we need to look at how they can actually be cleaned on site in new developments.
Good point. Any other? Councillor Fernacle?
I would also suggest perhaps looking at other high-rise dense areas such as City of Sydney, Olympic Park, what their strategies are. Obviously, there's a problem as if I'm a dog walker and I see that there's contaminated bins for recycling. I don't know what our average is, but I think it would be pretty low. And so we've got to look at that about how we educate. Is it a carrot and a stick? What do we do to up our uncontaminated recycling? That may well be in the sustainability plan that I know that staff are looking at, and that's probably a more holistic approach to the whole thing. But I think engagement with the community and those stakeholders who know more than I would be fantastic.
Good point. Councillor.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, the point is when the new projects, what we are planning to undertake or we are undertaking or in the process, it should be a part of the development application per se. So look at the different models which are there around the world, because we are undertaking projects which are fairly intensive living density wise. So I would suggest to you that you should have some kind of a committee to be formed where they can actually work on different developmental models, look at it and what it fits in, and then recommendation could be made.
Yeah, good point. And I think Councillor Fernacle raised a good point where we look at what City of Sydney and Olympic Park and some of those councils. I think even Canterbury Bankstown now have all its new developments. Now you have to pick up the waste from inside this, the actual property.
However, I would suggest to you, Mr. Mayor, you know, even the present practices are going to be very outmoded within just 5 years. I can tell you even with the Sydney one, which you are mentioning, they're not going to last. And though we are the small council, but we have very big projects.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean we're just as a sort of a minimum so, what they're doing.
So what I say that if you could, I mean, if our ask the general manager to investigate different models which are available now. Most of things are available online. A lot of things are available. Consultants are available. Why not to be forward looking and do that? Something in that perspective, you know?
All right, point taken. Any other questions?
And just one.
Oh, sorry.
Just I have one inquiry about the compost toolkit. If somebody can suggest me and what is how it can be made available to residents.
We'll take that on notice. It's and we'll get you a brief on that. And Councillor Crichton, you had another question.
Just one final question. Where is our bottle recycling centre for Burwood?
Dan Murphy's, I believe.
And that's the only one?
I believe so. That's the only one I'm aware of. It'll be great if we had bottle recycling bins next to our garbage bins in the town centre. It'll be really good to see how many bottles get thrown out in our general waste bins on our town centre. It would just be really good. Like, is it a high percentage, small percentage? Because it would be really good to have an option of, like, you know, I'm out, for example, in the Strand, I'll be out and I'll have a bottle of sparkling water or something. And then I'll actually keep the bottle because I don't want to put it in the council bin because I know it'll end up in general waste. So I'll make sure I go put it in someone's recycling bin if I walk home, or I'll put it in my own recycling. Or so it'd be great if you have a smaller type bin next to our garbage bins where you could put the bottles in, which is sort of like clear or something like that, and it only fits a bottle. Do you know what I mean? So you can't, and then council can have, obviously, you know, you can re-donate them to a recycler or whatever, or a charity that I know certain charities now take bottles as well. So they can use the funds they collect for charities, things like that. But anyway, I'll put the minute. All those in favour, those against, I declare that carried unanimously. The next item is 10/21, which is a Merrill minute on smart poles. The idea behind this sort of pretty much came out from some of the new developments that we've seen on Burwood Road, especially in that Burwood North area, and especially if council's looking at with the future metro, that area as part of the Parramatta Road urban strategy renewal, or whether we master plan it ourselves, there should be some form of conditions where, you know, developments that are undertaken, like there's one on the corner of Comus Street and Burwood Road, which has just been complete, which is opposite the Crown Plaza Hotel, where you've got these power lines. Right next to it, just looks unsightly. You've got this nice new development. You're probably going to have, I think a Japanese restaurant's going in under there, and you've got these power lines. Like, it should have been a condition of consent where they underground those power lines, or where there's an old street pole that they've got to replace it with council's standard smart pole. So I want to look at what opportunities council has to possibly put as part of a condition of consent that requires the developers or the owners to do that as part of a redevelopment. And that can be included in the urban street works that they've got to undertake. So rather than just focusing on the footpath, the bench seating, or the tree and landscape planting, maybe it also involves having to remove the cabling. Any questions? Put them in it, all those in favour? Those against, I declare that carried as well unanimously. 11/21, request for donation of the youth. This is just a request we received from St. Nectorius. They just want an in-kind sponsorship to be able to use the podium. They got a state government grant, I think, for about, I think it's $4,000 or $5,000. They've been in contact with our youth officers, I think Georgina, to talk about how they can have our youth group involved as well. So they just want to run, I think it's a youth day in Build Park. They've asked if we could possibly waive the fees. I think we worked out that the fees was $1,010. It's an in-kind contribution, I believe. It's not an actual contribution. Any questions? Put them in it. All those in favour, those against, declare that carried unanimously. And the other one, that is 12/21, which is the additional open space Henley Park and Russell Street Reserve. As councillors are aware, we recently purchased that second property at Henley Park. And also we've got that property, which is pretty much now becoming a little bit derelict, if I could say that, in Russell Street. And I believe staff are possibly looking at the cost of having to restore that and whether it's worth restoring for the capital outlay. And that property, for example, which is in quite a dense street, and now with the new playgrounds that we've got in Russell Street, the new, well, I won't say bench seating because we're there on the weekend, the bench seating probably needs replaying, but the new playground and table tennis table that's outdoor, that park is quite more active. And it's the last house that exists in the street, and it's adjoining that park. And it was always purchased, I believe, to make the park bigger. And we should honour that commitment now. And that's why I've asked that the general manager arrange the development of a master plan detailing the timing and possible scope of the park expansions. With Henley Park, we'd probably have to do some community engagement, or with both of them, I should say, on, you know, what that corner looks like if we were to demolish those two homes. Whether we look at demolishing them now or in 12 months' time or 18 months' time, you know, depending on what lease commitments we have and so forth. Any questions regarding those?
I just have one question. Obviously, Four's new. We're not going to rent that. Or will we rent with the Portland Street ones? Because there might be just...
I think one's rented. I think the second one we just bought, I think they're doing an assessment whether it's rentable. Do we have this rentable? Yeah.
So I suppose 33, the question is through you, are they rented at the moment? So we just have to be mindful of that, I suppose. I mean, I thought the expansion, but that a bit of reputational risk if we
kick people out. Oh, yeah, yeah. No. That's why I've put in there that to arrange a master plan detailing the timing and scope of the park. So that would obviously consider, you know, I couldn't see it happening before 12 months. Like, you know, by the time you do your plan, possibly give people notice, give them extra time to move out, plus budget. So we probably can't do it in this budget coming up. It might have to be the following budget. But I think we need to at least master plan and start thinking about this is the goal. This is where we want to go, and how do we plan to get to that goal? And like, for example, Russell Street, I think the park, if we were to add the house, I think it adds like 35% to the park and land space. Because that, I think, property from memory is 700 square metres. I think the park in total is 2,000 or just over 2,000. So it would be great. Like, it would be a significant increase. And it would be great then, because then you could probably have some safety fencing along Russell Street there to protect that area. All right, put them in. All those in favour? Those against? Declare that carried. Next item is the notice of motion from Councillor Fernow Cook, which is NM3/21. I might just get you to move it first, and then I think we have to get a second, and then you speak to the motion.
I can second that.
So it's been moved by Councillor Fernow Cook, seconded by Councillor Chan. Councillor Fernow Cook.
I'm happy.
Can I get you to speak into that?
Sorry, I'll start singing.
My ears bad?
I'm happy just to take questions. I assume everyone's read it. You know, they got the email from a member of the public, which was the kind of the trigger for me to do it. But it's basically to go to the Multicultural Committee, the MAC, because I think they are the best people to actually see if it's something worthwhile that we pursue, whether it's a campaign, it's not just the sign. So there's a few elements to it that the committee may think has value or not. So it's really something I think for them to look at, and I've spoken to the chair as well.
Anything to add, Councillor Chan?
No, I could endorse that because obviously this racism thing has come up every now and then. I think if the MAC can look into it and maybe devise some kind of short-term, maybe even medium-term or long-term sort of not so much policy, but maybe guidelines so that we can progress from there.
Okay, thanks, Councillor. Any other speakers? Speakers against?
Could I just say, I'd just like to thank Councillor Ferner Cook on her notice of motion. This issue has been buzzing around on social media a lot in the last few months, and Craig Foster's been a very good advocate for it. And I do appreciate and welcome the anti-racism sentiments in your notice of motion. And I think I would really value the input of our committee, our multicultural committee. And I look forward to their report.
Thanks, Councillor. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, declare that carried unanimously. Next item is a notice of motion 4/21 traffic concerns Liverpool Road. So it's been moved by Councillor Dixit, seconded by Councillor Manner. Did you wish to speak, Councillor Dixit?
Well, through you, Mr. Mayor, it was just an instance of like residents from that area happened to send me an email, and I sent the email to our general manager, and I requested him to create this motion.
Okay.
And that's good enough, and let it be looked at it by the general manager. And
any questions? Speak, Councillor Anna. Put the motion. All those in favour?
Aye.
Those against, declare that carried also unanimously. Next item now is item 37/21. Any questions?
Councillor Fennacle? If staff could just talk to it, I suppose, about what they can and can't do, just very briefly, some bullet points.
I'll hand over to Dylan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Give a quick brief?
I guess there's a number of elements we've looked at, and I suppose specifically talking to enforcement powers against PCAs. I guess we've found that they are relatively limited, and it's essentially down to reporting a particular private certifier to the professional standards body. That is not an impossible, but quite an onerous task. It requires an individual rather than an organisation to make a submission, and it's quite a lot of supporting information and paperwork essentially needs to go with that submission. It is something that we undertake and follow up with when there have been breaches that have been either signed off or endorsed by a private certifier. And that has resulted in enforcement action, either that PCA being essentially struck off for a period of time, plus a heavy fine. But it's probably not the solution we're looking for in terms of dealing with unauthorised building works. And that tends to be falling back to taking enforcement action against the developer and seeking the developer to take those rectification works rather than the PCA.
Just through you, Mr. Mayor, I mean, I've noticed that on all our legal stuff that it's lots of unauthorised works, etc. I'm just wondering if that we should also on our web page, because it's individuals who make complaints as well, put it through. Because there's a link on Local Government New South Wales to the Building Commissioner. And I think that might be useful because that also separates us a little bit from the perception that we've got some sort of control over PCAs, which we don't. So maybe if we provide, you know,
we have a link to both.
Yeah.
The actual, where you can make the complaints, the complaints board and the Building Commissioner. Can I just, any other questions quickly? I just wanted to make a quick comment, but I'll let questions go.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I have the privilege of meeting the Building Commissioner. And in a workshop, I did mention one thing, that there is a difference between Australian standards and international standards. There is a difference between Australian standards and international standards. And if we, because there is no legislation in that regard, it's a part of a legislation process. And if we undertake any kind of a legislation which made it mandatory, the ISO conditions, what you call international standards, then the problem will become easier, or we will be able to resolve it, whether it's a private certifier or a public certifier. if we do not have that standards in place, then perhaps we will not be able to resolve this issue. I did speak to Dylan last time when some related question came into place. And that is my suggestion through you, Mr. Mayor.
Did you want to make a comment on that? Or are you happy to take it on notice? Okay. Any other questions? Do I have a mover? Been moved by Councillor Manor, seconded by Councillor Furneaux-Cook. Speak for, just quick comment. Thanks for the report, quite detailed. I know you put a lot of hard work in it. I actually think the change in the conditions of consent, the way you're going to now have general conditions, technical, and then outline knows that you need to do prior to a construction certificate, prior to demolition, at least it takes away this, because when you hand out the conditions of consent, if you see them, they're this thick, and to go through every section and sort of try to highlight which ones are prior, they're all in different pages. Now you're grouping it all in the one title. There's no real excuse for someone to say, now I've missed it, because it's all there for them. So we're actually giving them a list now to say, before you get your construction certificate, you've got to do all this. And before you construct, you've got to have all this in place. So I think that's good. And hopefully now, I mean, we've sent letters to the relevant minister, the premier and the opposition leader to talk about possible legislative changes to give councils more power with PCAs. I mean, one of the ideas I was talking to one of the media outlets recently was that there should be some form of panels now set up for PCAs where councils are given a panel. So you might have 10 PCAs on our panel. And then when a developer or a person that wants to build their home here can come and has to use one of those panels on one of those PCAs on that panel. So it's got to be a council panel, and it possibly gets like the PCA gets spat out by the council, for example. So while the owner pays for it or the developer pays for it, they're not choosing who the PCA is. The council's appointing them and then they're paying for them. So it's taking away this, well, I'm paying, or the government changes the legislation to allow the council to charge the fees and then we appoint the PCA. So in a way, they're not, the PCA is not working for the developer and they're not getting paid by the developer. Their fees are getting paid via the council. So at least it allows council to have some form of control. And while the PCA is still independent, still does the same job, there's none of this potential conflict of interest by the PCA who's getting paid by the developer and so forth. It just takes, and you know, the saddest thing about it is you get councils, you get governments and government organisations create this public perception that, oh, you know, councils, all these conflicts of interest, declarations for councillors, council staff, everything else, and yet they still allow these PCAs to be paid for by who technically becomes their employer to certify their employer's building. It just makes, that's the biggest conflict of interest I see. And I just can't believe they still allow that type of system to exist. You can still keep the PCA independent system. You've just got to take away that conflict. And I think it's really unfair the way it exists. And it's quite easy to solve. It's not hard. Anyway, we had a mover, seconder. Any speakers against? Put the motion, you're right to reply. Put the motion, all those in favour? Those against, I declare that carried unanimously. Sorry, I could have gone on about that. I thought I'd better pull myself back. Next item is 29/21, Heritage Conservation Areas. I might just get a mover and seconder before I...
I'll move it.
It's been moved by Councillor Furneaux-Cook, seconded by Councillor Manor. Speak for... Against, any questions?
Oh, yeah, I've just got some questions. I was a bit confused.
Dylan, I think these will go through,
through you, Mr. Mayor, regarding why it's stage one and I don't quite understand the difference. I mean, I think it's really good and it was very timely. And obviously we are a bit far behind other similar councils. But what's the difference between one and two?
One and two, what page?
Indation. It's stage one and stage two.
Dylan?
through you, excuse me, Mr. Mayor. I guess we've split them into two elements there, with stage one being a number of actions we can take effectively immediately. So this is around preparation and publication of some guidance material, which will be available to residents on our website, undertaking some minor amendments to the DCP to include some additional guidance material and guidance images, which are all changes we can make relatively quickly. What will take a little bit longer is, I guess, the more detailed refinement of the provisions, particularly around how we define contributory buildings and building status, which is something that has to be put on public notification and go through that process. So it's likely to be something we'll fold into the comprehensive LEP amendment as part of those broader whole scale changes.
Just through you, two other questions and one comment.
Just on that, which will give it added, so this number two will give it added legal weight, because it becomes then, this document will then form part of a section in the DCP, I believe. Is that right?
Correct.
And that process, I think, sorry, Councillor Fennicle, is after September, I think, when we do the LEP review, is that right?
That's right.
So it's not too far. Just rather than, because we had this discussion, because I asked the same question, and rather than run two sort of simultaneous processes, we could hold it and run it as part of that other process. Sorry, Councillor.
Just with regard to the financial implications and getting someone to do the drawings, because it would be great if part of that is that the any drawings are web friendly, because a lot of the things that we've got is assuming that you click and download. So the question is, are we looking at as more, you know, graphics on a website rather than, you know, a guide in it that you have to click on, download, print and blah, blah, blah.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I probably haven't quite thought that far ahead, but in terms of what I anticipated was probably a combination of the two, in that we would be looking to refresh the content on our website. So we've got a particular landing page that deals with heritage matters, which would be, I guess, some broad overview information combined with some supporting images, but to have some specific downloadable PDF documents on that website that would be, I guess, graphic design and have the more detailed information so people can take those away, print them, share them, and even our custom service people can issue those via email to customer inquiries.
Yes, through you, Mr. Mayor, I would just, as a comment, I suppose, encourage, instead of a huge document, which is what we were talking about beforehand, you know, drop-down boxes, where people say, I want to change a veranda, and then you go to the reference to the PDF and you just drop down. You can just look at that rather than be swamped with irrelevant information that you've, you know, and it's more kind of user-friendly. Just two other things. Just, I was concerned in the mayoral minute, the mayor said before that it should, this report should go to the Burwood Historical Society and other interested groups when the review report is issued, but now the recommendation is just at the DCP stage. I just wanted to know why that changed, because that was a part of a motion.
Dylan?
It was really timing to get something back to councillors to be able to vote and endorse. So I think now we've got the agreement to this particular direction in terms of updating the material. I think we've got that mandate to proceed, and we'll be going out to consult with those historical society groups as a matter of course now. And that would be both in relation to the stage one works and guidance material, because I think they would have a lot to contribute. And then also as part of the more detailed DCP review as well. So we'll certainly cover that. And if I might as well, in terms of your amount of content in any guidance material, I think we're on the same page. It'll be simple, easy, digestible material, two or three pages, that sort of content, not 20.
And just one more question through you, Mr. Mayor, actually to the General Manager. I suppose, I mean, the Mayor brought this up, but this is a 2013 document. How is our cycling of policy reviews? Have we got a, you know, do how often you, I know I'm on an audit committee where part of it is this cycle of reviews. You know, you put on a thing that, you know, 3 years, 5 years' time, it has to be reviewed, rather than it has to come up because there's been identified a problem.
Yeah, Councillor, thank you for that question. Typically, a cycle for policies will be 4 years. Unfortunately, I mean, the reality is we've got hundreds of them, and we're progressively actually reviewing that register with a view of simplifying that such list and then just staying on top of them. So this is probably one that slipped through, and that's the reality. But typically, it will be a four-year cycle of review.
Other questions? Councillor Crichton.
Just one, if I could ask through you, Mr. Mayor, just to the staff, with the website and the imagery, is it possible to please consider using photographs of Bould? Because here they're from Singleton, they're not entirely relevant to Bould. So I'm always out to promote Bould whenever possible.
Okay, thank point you. Taken. Councillor Pixit.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. First is, I just need to have, when did we have this policy started, how it has originated the council, and the later on till we arrive today, or say 2013 document or so. Can I have the copies of those?
I think they're online. Is it online?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, some of the older, more historical documents are predating the current.
I don't think you're going to get it back to 1979.
Available. But I'm sure there will be a copy somewhere that I can find.
Well, I think you would find the 2013 document will be the same document, but it's just been updated over time. I don't know if you could get the old, I don't know. It's probably in archive somewhere. Because I think it dates back, it would probably go back to when the ordinance scheme in 1979 would happen. I don't think you're going to get that. I mean, I'd be surprised if they've got a copy. But anyway, they'll look at it. Point taken.
Yeah, the reason was the same which my fellow councillor have told me, that because we do have fantastic heritage value items, which could be an example for the rest of the councils too. So, but I cannot comment unless I have something in my hand. So that's my good.
Fair enough.
Thank you.
Any other speakers? Speakers against? Write a reply, Councillor. Put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, I declare that carried unanimously. Item 38/21, which is the draft delivery program. Do I have a mover?
I'll move. I have two questions.
Yep, it's been moved by Councillor Fernow Cook, seconded by Councillor Dixon. Was that you, Councillor, or Councillor Manor? I thought he raised his finger. Councillor Fernow Cook, questions?
Yes, just on page 39, it says borrowings. It is proposed that council will be borrowing a loan funds of $1 million during 21-22 financial year. Can I just quick comment on why and purpose?
I think that was a previous resolution. But Wayne, do you want to come forward? Wayne fell asleep. Just press that mic on. Just ask the question again, sorry, Councillor.
39, it says that Council will be borrowing $1 million in the next financial year. So the question was, why and what's its purpose?
Currently...
From whom?
Well, that'd be from the best rate we can get for a start. The current loan will be maturing next year. So I thought we'd borrow again. It wouldn't affect the bottom line because we've already got factored in the loan repayments. And the money will be spent on beautification works at Enfield Road. Enfield Village, I should say, yeah.
Is this a new loan or is it?
It'll be a new loan, yeah.
Okay, I thought we had a resolution for a loan.
Not this financial year. 2021.
So was that resolved prior or no? I thought that was... okay. I thought it was...
No.
So we're looking at borrowing a new $1 million.
Yeah.
Okay.
Currently, the old $1 million loan is maturing.
Right.
And our last payments will be during 21-22. So we'll borrow during 21-22 and those repayments will continue on to so service
how,
that loan.
How are we repaying the $1 million that's currently outstanding?
Oh, out of just general revenue.
Okay, so is that being paid off, is it?
It will be, yes.
Oh, so we're just re-borrowing.
Well, there's about, so I think about two repayments to go in next
year. Okay, fair enough. Yeah. So it's not we're not adding $1 million to the million that we owe. No. It's just replenishing the million.
This will keep our ratios up, our KPIs.
Our debt, debt service borrowing ratio, is really low.
Yes.
For this
it's,
council.
Sorry, I the way I read it, I thought we that was something we had resolved to borrow previously, and now we're taking it up in 21-22.
No, this is to go on exhibition for the public to know that, and council to know that we will be borrowing another $1 million.
Okay. And the beautification works at Enfield. Oh, sorry, councillor, you had another question. Just to follow on, the beautification works at Enfield. There was a grant application that we put in, I thought, which has not been successful. Is that correct?
Yeah, you're correct, Mr. Mayor. Unfortunately, the competition was very stiff and we were not successful. So we are still looking. We do believe there's value in that project, maybe redimension, rescale down, and potentially commit a lower amount, but at least start commence some kind of upgrades in
and,
that area.
And can we do like maybe you keep the same master plan, but you do staged works, correct. And then we look out for future grants. So you might start, for example, with the landscaping works or the public art, and then later you do the redo the smart poles or you redo the pavement and stuff like that.
I agree.
Okay.
Yeah.
Councillor, you had a question. Sorry, that was moved by Councillor Ferno-Cook and seconded by Councillor Manor. You had another question.
Yeah, just had one more question. It's just on page 114. It's about the fees for community programs. I just couldn't quite understand it. So year 2021, it says evening 9-week term. This is on page 114 after 6.
114?
Yep. It said $0 up the top and then now it's
Wayne, stay there.
6. So did we not charge and we're charging now or I didn't understand that. I'm sure it's nothing tricky.
So community programs.
See that evening session there, it says 0 and now it says 66. That's that. So I wasn't quite sure.
Evening 9-week.
After 6.
9-week term after 6 p.m.
The first one is $8 and then it's $8 next year. But the next one, 0252, says it's $0 and then it's $66. Tasha? I didn't quite understand.
Hi. Yes, so they are new funding fees. So what it is we previously used to charge on a that week basis, but we're trying to encourage to move to a term-by-term basis. So we're keeping all the weekly fees in place for the existing programs, but we'll try to persuade new programs and push new programs to be funded on a term basis so that we can charge more online rather than week by week with people showing up to pay in cash at the customer service and so on. Yeah, so that's why.
So it's a new item. That's why it was zeros before.
Yeah.
And now it's okay.
I think it's a new way of booking.
Yeah. We're going to try online.
But rather than going in and paying every week, now they're giving you a term fee.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? Councillor Dixon.
Yes. Through you, Mr. Mayor, it's on page 76. It's forward estimates of income and expenditure.
Wayne, do you want to stay up here? Sorry. 76?
Yes.
And the question?
And the entry number is something, interest and investment revenue. So it's the third entry, which goes from 650,000 to 901,000. That's in the 22-23. So what makes that change? What attributes to the factor?
Okay. Interest and investment revenue.
Yeah. So... Listen.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. That would be we're factoring in an increase in interest rates.
And would the interest rate would be increasing? What percentage are you taking?
Well, currently we're only doing 1%.
Yeah. And
so we'd be looking about 2%. Maybe.
What's the basis?
Well, the economy's going gunbusters at the moment.
Yeah, but there has to be some basis. some study, some...
Well, that probably is a RBA forecast, I would assume.
Yep.
Would that be right, Wayne?
Yeah. Plus, we're factoring in some more
rental
contributions or rents, additional income. It's only an estimate. And
timidly optimistic view of the future post-pandemic. So their current budgets obviously have been hit fairly hard because of COVID. So we are hoping that the trend will be a positive one into the next few 3, 4, 5 years.
Well, anyway, I can accept this answer, but there has to be some rationale behind it. I mean, I cannot anyway. This similarly, okay, can we go to the next entry? The next entry is the same capital grants and contributions. And in the same budget estimates of 2022-23, so from 6,480,000 to 11 million from, so how, what is that increase? What refers to?
We factored in the first payment from the Hallmark development.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And how much is it?
That the first payment would be $5 million.
All right. Okay.
So did you understand that one? So you know the whole Mark Bell Plaza development.
Yeah.
If it gets approved.
If it gets approved, yeah.
By the panel.
Yes.
Then that contribution, it shows that they have to pay a contribution up front. I think of $5 million straight away. Because they've got to pay us. There's a $65 million contribution on the VPA, I think, of which $30 million is a cash payment or $35 million?
I think it's about $30 million.
So that's part of that.
All right. Anyway, let me come back to...
You've got to remember these budget for 22, 23, 24, 25 is an estimate.
I know it's
so
estimate.
It just... They've got to show it if they estimate that it could possibly be coming.
Mr. Mayor, true, but there has to be some rational
basis. I'm pretty sure with the investment interest rate, our finance guys will probably be looking at an RBA forecast. I can't say they would.
I'm sure the RBA forecast is not such a good one. I'll be very happy if it is, if you go to the facts anyway.
Considering we're only, for next year, we're only looking at 1%. Interest rate, and it's only goes up to about $250,000. So it's only about 0.5% interest rate increase. Plus, we've got another $5 million as a contribution during the year.
Anyway, I'll let
any other questions?
Let me come back to the other question. Yes.
Any other questions?
Yes. Just 1 minute.
While you're looking at that, councillor, going to ask you a question in between.
Mm-hmm.
The residential town centre rate in the dollar. Why is that different to the residential rate in the dollar for normal residential when technically they're getting the same service? So if I own a house outside the town centre, I'm paying 0.00148 so forth rate in the dollar. This is on page 37, Wayne. Whereas if I own a residential unit in the town centre, I'm paying at 0.00075, which is half the rate in the dollar. Why is that?
That's just the rate in the dollar in the town centre. That's how it was calculated originally.
Is there like not an opportunity in future years where council might increase that rate in the dollar and reduce the residential rate in the dollar? Because you still have to have the pie.
Yes, we can do that.
Because, I mean, we're noticing now with residential apartments in the town centre, their servicing is probably costing more than a residential. And I'm not saying it should be more, but it might be, there's got to be a bit more of an equitable approach, I think.
We can look at that.
Same waste service, same cleaning, sweeping the streets, probably more cleaning with the clean and safe team, more cleaning with graffiti cleanup, more beautification works. So there's a lot more involved in living in the town centre, for example, where you're chewing up a lot more of council services than if you were living in, say, you know, Byer Street, Enfield.
Yeah, we will be looking at it, but we can't look at it while the SRV is currently in play. But that is on our radar to have a look at all the rates in the dollar, et cetera, right through the municipality. And also to reduce,
I just wouldn't think it would be weighted at half the value, like 14 as opposed to 7. I just wouldn't think it would be rated at half. I would have thought,
However, when you have a look at it, Mr. Mayor, there are a lot of minimums.
I know that.
And they're charged at a higher rate than outside minimums.
Yeah, but there wouldn't be many. Oh, there's 4,000 properties, okay, in the residential area that are a minimum rate assessment. Okay, fair enough. Anyway, still. All right, Councillor, you had another question.
On page number 75, through you, Mr. Mayor, in both the graphs, if you look at it, the scale, if I put the same scale, there are two different scales are being used in plotting a graph. So if we use the same scale, it will have a different picture. I don't know who have plotted a graph. You can see the distinction very clearly.
Which graph are you talking about?
It's on page 75.
If you're looking the budget forecast, the budget result, as opposed to the operating income and expenditure.
Yes. It's the same budget we are talking about.
Yep.
So why are we using the different scale on plotting a graph?
If we use the same scale as the operating income and expenditure for the budget to forecast, you'd only have a small line down the bottom. But we can change it if you like.
Of course you should, because it's a paper which goes to the Treasury, my friend.
Yeah, but I would disagree, only because it's two different. They're talking about two different things. The other one is that you could show the forecast budget result on the 80 million scale. It just shows, it'll just be smaller. And for people like me that can't see well, I'd want to blow up.
through you, Mr. Mayor, I know when we go to the ICAC, the kind of questions they ask us,
That's a different.
So it's only my request. It's an incorrect plotting, just to correct it.
It's not incorrect plotting. It's showing two different results.
No, it's the same budget.
Different,
you are referring to the same.
Yeah, same budget, but two different budget items. A budget is made up of 1,000 items. Not every item. What's the use of show? Let me ask you this. What's the use of showing you the forecast budget result with an $80 million graph point there when it only goes up to $36 million? It's so from $36 million to $80 million, it's just a blank page. What I'm trying to say is it's going to make the graph look smaller. So you're looking at something. The standard doesn't say you have to do that.
The answer is, if you can't do that, what you can do is you can write a scale on both graphs separately. So what does 5,000 here say?
I don't think what does
5,000 say here? So that's how the graph should be plot. It's a financial matter, what I'm referring to.
Are you talking about the actual
plotting?
You want to see it go up by 5,000 or you want to see the total?
What I'm trying to say, I'm referring to the scale. I'm not questioning the data.
I know that, but I don't understand what the issue is. I think it reads perfectly well.
I think, Councillor, it's simply for ease of reading that was presented this way.
I think it's for the ease of reading.
For the scale of the thing. However, this is a draft document that can be edited
I would just simply request it. Put the same thing, put the scale here.
But I'm an economics student. I see different pages with five different scales on the page because they tell you all a different story.
We could.
I'm an economics. I've studied economics. I was a financial planner. Trust me, I've seen this all the time. This is standard accounting. But anyway, I don't see what the issue is. I'm not going to get into it.
Can you eliminate the photo and put...
No, it's, I don't think, anyway. Unless you're saying that they were trying to tell a different story, that's the way it's presented. Well,
look, I don't want to use those words because that could be an interpretation.
What I'm saying is it's a matter of preference, Councillor, and my preference is I like things blown up because I've got problems with the way I see things. And for me, it's easier to read. That's what I'm saying. I mean, now you're asking them to make it smaller. It's going to be harder for me to read.
To you, Mr. Mayor, I'm drawing your attention. It's up to you as a chair.
It's not.
How do you appreciate my...
No, it's up to them. It's up to the staff. That's what
I'm drawing your attention only.
Anyway, so if you want them to change it, I guess you can put up a motion. I think this is a standard thing, but anyway. I just don't want to make things smaller, trust me, because it's hard enough for me to read. Any other questions?
Okay, my question through you, Mr. Mayor, to the General Manager. I had in the last budget questions, I had a queries which we were referring to the last question, that how the rate in the dollar is being counted or calculated. I had a separate briefing and I did not find the satisfactory answers. My colleague knows about it. And then in a...
Question.
The question is how this rate in dollar is being counted or calculated. What is the formula?
Okay, we'll send you the link. I'll tell you how it was formulated. There was a workshop that happened. There's a standard formula that you have.
What
to
is
have.
That? I want to know that.
Okay, no worries. What we will do is if we've got the information, I think we'll take it on notice and send you the link. There's a pie that, so in the next election, what will happen is we'll actually, when we're doing our new rate, we will then go through the rates in the dollar. In the past, we've increased the rates in the dollar for businesses. For example, in the town centre, if you're asking me how do they come to the conclusion of 14 cents as opposed to 7 cents as opposed to 3.8 cents, I'm not sure. I can't explain that. That was a workshop that happened, I think in 2008, from memory, when we increased the rate in the dollar for commercial properties in West, which was to make Westfields and those businesses pay a higher rate or contribution. If we find something, I guess we'll take that on notice. Have you got something, Wayne?
We did show Councillor Dix at the one-on-one meeting with him, but we can do it again. Yeah. But not on me, no.
Pull it out of your pocket. It's in your jacket, I can see. Any other questions?
Anyway,
Councillor Cross.
Just one quick one, please, Mr. Mayor, through you. Just in relation to our park hire fees, firstly, can I just say I'm very happy to see Grant Park netball and basketball courts.
Page,
I can miss that opportunity to say that. Don't worry about that one. Ah. If we could go to page 139. And it's more a general question, and that is that with the parks listed there, say Henley Park and Blair Park have now received substantial upgrades, yet Flockhart Park perhaps will in the next term, perhaps of council, but we still have the same charges. Is that correct for all the parks for field hire and is that fair, I suppose? Would be my question, just equity.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. The parks manager sets these fees. We just go by what he comes up with. However, I take that on notice regarding the increased capital expenditure we have done on several parks, and those parks should be paying higher than the ones that haven't been upgraded.
Yeah. Councillor, may I add, we'll take that on notice. This is a draft document that's going to go out. So we've got a month to make any adjustments we believe are necessary or logical. We'll definitely look into that, whether we can adjust and compensate one with the other.
Through you, just to make a comment, the Blairs came from a grant to Burwood Soccer. It wasn't actually a lot of our money. So I don't think that we can double dip.
We'll take it on notice.
But maybe a reduction in the other, in Flockhart, is, yeah, just doesn't seem fair that they're all lobbed in together. Yeah, there's big variation in the standard.
Point taken. Any other questions? The mover was Councillor Fennell-Cook. Is your right of reply? Any speakers against? So your right of reply now. Put the motion, all those in favour. Those against declare that carried unanimously. 30/21, page 171, which is the budget review for quarter ending.
Just have a few questions. I'm happy to move it.
So it's been moved by Councillor Fennell-Cook. Did you raise your hand to second, Councillor, or not? Did you raise it? No? Do I have a seconder? Councillor Crichton, did you raise your hand? No. Yes. No, no, it's all right. It's been moved by Councillor. You can't flick your hair. Makes me think you raised your hand. So it's been moved by Councillor Fennell-Cook, seconded by Councillor Manner. Your questions, Councillor Fennell-Cook.
Okay, just a few questions with regard to, you can stay up there, Wayne. 173. Firstly, great result for Enfield Aquatic Centre. Out of the box, really, 40 grand extra. Just with regards to the reference five, the decrease in the rental revenue, maybe this is through to the general manager. Do we have had, and this could be commercial in confidence, but have we had any bites at all for LC and Condor?
I'll ask Fab to answer that, Councillor.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, we're actually in the process of engaging a real estate agent to further market the properties. We haven't had any interest in Elsie Street at this stage. There was some interest in relation to a potential purchaser of the site, but not a renter. And we'd prefer to look at an ongoing source of income rather than just a one-off sale at this point. We're also looking at market conditions and we may need to sort of look at our expectations of rental returns. The properties are very slow moving at the moment in the area in the commercial space. So that's why we're engaging some experts in the area just to guide us on what our reasonable expectations are in that area.
Did you have another question? Just can I ask a follow-on to that? So with Elsie Street, the possible purchase, and I'm not going to go into too much detail. If we need to speak about the actual, we can do that in a confidential item. There could be an opportunity, even if he did sell at this stage, because, you know, the commercial market's changing. And then we put the money in a fund to actually repurchase something. So, you know, you might end up purchasing retail space along, or shops along Build Road that it might be heritage listed that we can then do up and release, like as a council, and redo their facades, set them as an example of how the town centre should look, you know, repaint the facades, you know, redo the shop fronts and then lease it out, and then you get an income there. So there's opportunities that way.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, absolutely. All of those options are on the table. We just want to be guided because of the current market conditions. They're a little bit unusual, so we just want to be guided by some experts.
Maybe just take that on notice, and we can talk more about it in a confidential item. And also give us an update if you've spoken to New South Wales Treasury about New South Wales Public Service Department's taking out the whole floor, because that's what it's, we keep hearing from real estate agents that they want these large floor plates, and now they've got one and it's not getting leased. So that's why I'm a bit, well, is it smaller floor plates? I know the whole COVID stuff has thrown the commercial market out at the moment. But anyway, your other question, Councillor Fennell-Cook.
Yes, just one or two more. Just regard to page 173 down the bottom about employment costs through you, probably to the general manager. The creation of a new library role and a new city strategy role. What are those roles? I know they're operational, but it'd be nice to know.
Maybe Brooke on the library and the city strategy too.
Yeah, thank you. So the library role is in relation to supporting programs at the Community Hub. When we opened the new Library and Community Hub, we've managed that to date with existing staffing, and this is increasing the establishment and a position to help with programming at the new Community Hub space.
Type of program, sorry.
So we've got a resource now dedicated to basically the activation of the hub, such as the digital art, the makerspace, and the tech labs, and the music podcast video studios.
Yeah.
So we got a person that is actually dedicated to that.
Councillor Dixon, you had a question? No?
Sorry, the city stage, I can't remember, is it?
It's the establishment of a dedicated heritage advisor role. Currently, that's a service that's split between one officer doing strategic planning functions and heritage advisory. We've decided to take the heritage advisory out and have that as a standalone person.
It should be a standalone person. It's hard to have someone looking at city strategy from a strategic point of view, and at the same time, they've got heritage. Like, I mean, they should talk to each other, yeah. But anyway, any other questions?
Yeah, two more questions, or three more. Just on page 174, the Conda Street Urban Park, so that was the development application consultancy was $500,000. Are we looking at more costs, and can they be recouped in, you know, the VPA? That's that question.
Tommaso?
I might ask Dylan to attempt an answer. And then...
So, sorry, the question again. Sorry, Councillor Finocchio.
It's a $500,000 development application consultancy. Are there any forecast in the budget for more costs, and can they be recouped in the VPA?
And
Dylan or Brooke?
So, look, I can respond to that question. So I guess that the allocation there is for the design fees for, I guess, preparing and documenting the design for the urban park, and then taking that through approval pathways as well. So that will indeed be covered by our Section 712 contributions, and will be covered as part of the contributions received from the VPA.
There's a separate contribution for that from the developer, separate to the VPA, which I think is the $15 million one, isn't it?
That's correct. So there's a specific contribution under the VPA for the provision of the urban park, and we're also receiving 712 contributions from the application.
So other than the $65 million VPA we have, there's still an, I think, was it 15 or 18? 15 million. Well, it's thereabouts. And I believe we've received, I can disclose the grant, can't I? That's public information. In a public forum or not? No. I'll tell you in the confidential session.
And just two more questions. Just on page 175, we were talking about the Henley Park amenities. I noticed that with the playing fields, the landscaping and the netball courts landscaping, it's about, you know, $900,000. Was that covered in the actual grant, or is that extra contingency? Was that covered in our budget at all? And when is the opening of that? That's the second question.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I can address when's the opening of the amenities. That'll be towards the end of June. We'll finalise a date with the soccer club. I know they've got an anniversary coming up, so we might try align that. In terms of budget allowance, end of June, yeah.
And the budget allocations, Wayne?
Yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor. With regard to that $250,000, that's a grant we received from the LCRILIC, I'm getting mixed up, stage two grant of over $1.2 million or something we've received.
But it was two and a half.
No, this is stage two.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And we've broke that up into about five different projects. Yeah.
We need to be mindful that there's multiple projects on that site because we effectively also activated what was going to be stage four of the pool with the car park. We got drainage works on Shelley Street that were going to be done. And then obviously the netball courts. So yeah, it's a mix of projects there.
Thank you. I just wanted to make sure that we've got it, you know, the grants covered those. And the other one was just in on page 180, and there are legal expenses. I noticed that we've got, and this is basically what the mayor was talking about before, working without approvals or breach of development consents. There's 13 of those in that we've had to take the developers or the persons to court. Sometimes we don't get the money back. I just wanted to know through you, Mr. Mayor, is that increasing or is it decreasing? What's our kind of, how are we tracking that? Is it something that we should, is it a red flag or is it decreasing?
I wouldn't be able to provide an exact comparison with previous years. It would be interesting probably for us to do that, Councillor. I'd say, I mean, there's a lot of activity happening in Burwood as an LGA. So you would expect a level of non-compliance. We are addressing them obviously fairly quickly. There are instances where we do have a favourable outcome. There was one, I won't mention the address, but where the court just last week awarded, fined the builder $40,000 plus recovery of cost for council. So I think...
That was Friday.
Yeah, last week, yeah. We do believe that obviously having a proactive and enforcement and legal action does send a message out to the industry that Build Council will not tolerate this behaviour.
Just on some of those are actually deeds as well. Like we might have some type of agreement, so there might not be active court. And some of them are homes and so forth, so...
I might just add from experience and from previous years, on the overall bottom line for legal expenses, if you were to take the big ticket items being busy and the Appian Way, that's been now an ongoing thing, and Burley Street, we're effectively probably at a level that should be okay for a council this size, in my opinion.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I wasn't saying that we shouldn't. I was just saying that at all. I was just saying it may help us understand where our, staff mix should be, whether we do need more compliance officers or whatever. It might help inform our approach.
Yeah. We're hopeful, Councillor, that with that other report Dylan presented earlier in relation to conditions and tighter checks early on in the process so that we don't discover non-compliances later once the building is built, that should assist.
There was one here, just my quick question, that was regarding, how we had during the seniors week allowed pensioners free access into the pool. It was listed on this for legal expense. Why? I just remembered seeing it again. I just got to find it. Is there a reason why that would be included? Or
through you, Mr. Mayor, I can answer that. That yes. Relates to us seeking legal advice around banning persons from the pool, not in relation to we've had a number of incidences where we've required a police response and had to ban people from the pool, and certainly not seniors, but so it's a separate matter.
At least it's not in a West. They're banning people from council meetings, not the pool. okay, any other questions? Councillor Dixon.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I just wanted to know the update of this 13 Appian Way.
Hang on, we might do that in the confidential session. Because it's still a legal matter. So it was moved by Councillor Ferdinand-Cook, seconded by Councillor Manor. Put the motion, any speakers against? Write a reply. Put the motion, all those in favour. Those against, I declare that carried unanimously. 31/
31/21, which is the investment report on page 182. Any questions? Sorry, do I have a mover? Moved by Councillor Crichton, seconded by Councillor Chan. Speakers? Questions? Speakers against? Write a reply. Put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, declare that carried. 32/21, Council Community Grant Program. Been moved by Councillor Fennell-Cook, seconded by Councillor Chan. Speakers for, against, questions? Put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, declared that carried. Thanks, Natasha, for staying. 33/21, which is the adoption of Hornsey Lane to be renamed Unity Place.
Happy to move it. And I just want to make perhaps a comment and a question.
Been moved by Councillor Fennell-Cook, seconded by Councillor Crichton. Councillor?
Look, in comment, it's a fantastic initiative. And with that question I had about the library person as well and the activation of a hub, I'm just wondering if it's something that we should put up for the Leo Kelly Arts and Culture Award. You know, so it might be something that we tend not to do that, but I think that might be because I've noted they're extending the so we've got the activation that the public consultation and that it came from the public. Then we had the event itself, and now we've got staff to activate. We've got the wall art, the murals, and now we've got some activities and a specialist person to do it. So I think it's got quite a few runs on the board to be a contender.
Good point. Any other questions, comments? Write a reply. Put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, declare that carried unanimously. Item 34/21, which is TVB annual Moon Festival event that we have. That's in kind sponsorship, isn't it? Is that right? Yeah. Been moved by Councillor Manor, seconded by Councillor Dick. Are you seconding or question?
No, question.
Seconded by Councillor Crichton. Question, Councillor Manor? Councillor Crichton? Question, Councillor Dixon.
The first question is why this, through you, Mr. Mayor, why this carnival is known as TVB Anywhere?
The TVB is a Chinese television channel that operates in the country. And so they're the major sponsor of the event they've organized each year. So they brand it as the TVB Carnival.
May I say that? I'm sorry to interrupt. I think TVB Anywhere is the local agent. It's an agent of TVB.
Okay.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, but the question is, when Burwood Council is in partnership, Burwood logo is being used, an institution which is 150 years old, and what kind of benefits, even if I say sponsorship, what kind of a financial benefits the council is getting out of it?
Tomaso?
Council, I think in the proposal, but in the report as well, we list the in-kind media space that the channels would provide to council, and there's an actual monetary value for each allocated spot, if you like. There's airtime for a number of days, a number of times. They're going to advertise the Burwood Festival, for example, as well as being there to broadcast from the Burwood Festival site on the day. So if you look at the actual attached proposal, you will find from page 2 the list of TVB Anywhere responsibilities, and you will find there's actually a monetary value next to each item. I can't remember the total. Maybe Lawrence, you remember? What was the value of the contribution? Yeah. No. I can see 9.5. 16.
So on page two, it says they will provide a bond of $9,500. Then they will provide advertising on six separate dates, profiling Burwood Council. So this is, I think, the 10th year we've had this event, I believe. So the advertising cost to them is $16,000. Then they've got another $13,500 in advertising costs to them, which to promote Burwood Council's Burwood Festival event. So then they advertise that. So it's listed on page three. Then they've got another $5,500 in advertising for other advertising they provide. So it's a TV, digital TV station.
True, but through you, Mr. Mayor, an institution of 150 years old, I think it requires a hell lot of reputational value, which is quite $1 million projects we are taking. These 15,000 appears to be a peanut to me.
Well, it's more than 15.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, and we are promoting the Burwood Council, not a business. Had it been a Burwood Carnival, I would be very happy.
Yep.
If they are sponsoring us.
Are you asking a question now? Or? Yes.
So this is my question.
We've given our answer. Do you have another question? You can speak against it.
Okay.
Do you have another question?
That's fine. Yes, there is another question.
Yes.
The event which it's referring on page number 215. Invite the mayor of Burwood to open the event in Burwood Park on Saturday, 28th of August, 2021. It's on page 215, second paragraph.
Yes.
Now, that's a part when we would be in a caretaker mode.
No. Oh, yes, that's okay. The mayor still is the mayor of the council, still has official
True.
Role.
True.
As councillors will be elected.
True.
If you have a problem with that, you can make a complaint to the Department of Local Government.
No, I'm drawing your attention.
I don't stop being the mayor to be, yeah, councillors are invited, but the mayor does not stop his official.
My question is,
I can't do promotion.
Is it not a conflict of interest for us?
No.
To you, Mr. Mayor?
No. That's my answer.
Okay.
Do you have any other questions? I mean, I can give you answers. If you don't like the answers, that's your issue. But it's not a conflict, no. This is a 10-year-old event. They usually invite the mayor to open the event. They have, in the past, they have had federal and state members. I think they've had representatives of the Prime Minister, of the Premier. I think we've had Jeff Lee, who's the multicultural minister in New South Wales, represent the Premier. I think we've had Alex Hawke, who's, I think, the Assistant Immigration Minister, has represented the Prime Minister, and I think we've had all the councillors invited as well. From my understanding, and from what I understand, when we are in caretaker mode, caretaker is about promotion and flyers and sending out newsletters, advertising, making decisions on major council items. It doesn't stop the mayor officiating at the mayor's still the mayor. It doesn't say the mayor ceases to be the mayor at the start of the caretaker mode. The mayor actually ceases being the mayor when the new declaration, it doesn't even, if you actually read the act, the mayor doesn't finish his role until a new mayor is actually declared elected. So you'll find, unlike the councillors, where I think your term finishes on the 3rd of September, the mayor actually stays in the role until the returning officer actually declares a new mayor elected, because you still need to have, I guess, the head of the council. So it doesn't stop. Asking me the question, no, I don't believe it's a conflict. And you probably get five different advices from people telling you five different opinions. But anyway, any other questions? Any more questions, councillor? Who moved that? Who was the mover? Oh, sorry, it was Councillor Manor and Councillor Crine. Did you wish to, any speakers, you wish to speak for, speakers against? Did you wish to speak?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, my understanding is, had it been a usual way, if it's not an election year, that's my understanding of the Act and then my understanding of the election laws, that in the caretaker mode, we should either abstain from such events. That's my personal understanding. Secondly, important is we are partnering with somebody. It's not a problem, but where if we use the name instead of TVB, if we use Bawood Carnival, perhaps that would serve the more purpose as a bigger perspective. We want to promote our council with another partners. There's no problem in that way. But it doesn't give that perception when you are actually naming the event with the name of some commercial organization. Of course, you undertake the sponsorship through a commercial organizations. However, the parent organization, which is much more older, it's a part of the government. Your logo has a government, you try to legitimize it and give more worth to them, my understanding. So had it been a Bawood Carnival itself, well, perhaps that would be my understanding, and therefore I would not be supporting this.
Any other speakers? Look, I'll be supporting it. And look, I understand your point of view, Councillor. I'm not going to get into the argument about the officiating the event. It's technically a private event that council co-sponsors, because there still is the actual cost of running the event, which TVB pays for. So what they've asked for here is a sponsorship agreement, which I think this is the 10th year we've been running this event, they have been running this event. It's an in-kind contribution via the park hire fees, I believe, and the cleaning and maintenance and the use of the podium and so forth. They are still event costs. The event costs, I believe, far outweigh what we contribute. For me, the reason I support it is because usually you'll find, and the councillors, and I'm sure you'll get an invitation too. I'm not sure if you're going to turn up because caretaker mode, but anyway, in saying that, I think we actually get quite a good promotion for the council and the Build Local Government area. And it streams back to Hong Kong as well. So it's not just streaming to Asian service providers in New South Wales and Australia. It actually streams back. It's international. And they usually every year, and I think councillors would remember, they have two or three, or they'll get a one of the movie stars or TV stars from Hong Kong, which is quite popular. So when they actually turn up, it creates a bit of a buzz in Burwood. It gets shown internationally on their TV network that, you know, this movie star or singer, popular singer in Asian culture is in Burwood for a festival. It actually draws a lot of people to the event. It promotes a lot of our local businesses because we've got a lot of visitors here. They end up going, if you come down that day, you'll actually walk down Build Road and you'll see that there's a lot of people actually out on the streets. A lot of people stop into our restaurants and then sit down into our cafes. So it actually generates economic activity. So on that basis, I'll be supporting it. It's an event that we've been having every year. I think it's worked quite well. Initially, I think when we started co-sponsoring the event, I think we had the contributions at about 20 or 25,000. We've now reduced that simply because we have another company now, which is called Image Media, I believe. New Impression, sorry. And they run a similar event, but around Chinese New Year. So this is around the Moon Festival period. The other one's Chinese New Year. And it actually works quite well, I think, because we have our Spring Festival in between. And this works well because it allows the organisers themselves to organise these events. So rather than council bearing the costs of our staff, our events people organising these events like a Moon Festival or a Chinese New Year, they're now bigger, broader events that are organised by these organisations, and the cost is carried by them. It just means council co-sponsors it. And because they've been doing, I think anywhere TVB is the largest, I believe, digital subscriber of Hong Kong TV in Australia. Correct me if I'm wrong, Councillor Chan, but I believe that's from what I understand. I'm not sure if that has changed, but that's what I believe. Any other speakers? You'll write a reply, Councillor. I put the motion. All those in favour? Those against? So I declare that carried. New South Wales Local Government Remuneration Tribunal, been moved by Councillor Chan, seconded by Councillor Manor. Questions? Speakers against? Put the motion. All those in favour? Those against? Declare that carried. Item RC4/21, which is the minutes for the steering committee, which I believe is just to, it's just an information item, is that correct? So there's no decision there. And then there's also the questions on notice, answers to questions on notice, which is item 1221, which is information and petitions 13/21. I've got a motion to move into closed session, be moved by Councillor Fernow Cook. Oh, sorry. Is there questions on notice? There's not. It's got a motion to move into closed session. Being moved by Councillor Fernow Cook, seconded by Councillor Chan. The reasons as per stated on the council report on page 5, that the above item 36/21 be considered in closed session to the exclusion of the public and press with section 10A2 of the Local Government Act 93, as the matter involves information that would, if disclosed, confer a commercial advantage on a person with whom the council is conducting or proposed conduct business, and so forth. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Those against? Declare that carried unanimous. Turn the mics. Financial item. So I might just hand out to the general manager to read out the recommendation.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Mayor. So in relation to the report item 36/21, the council knows, council approved the council note the contents of this report and provides endorsement to the general manager to proceed with stage one preliminary works as described for the future marketing and sale of council owned land located at Burley Street. This includes the engagement of an external consultant team. Point two, at least one workshop shall be undertaken with councillors to present key elements of the concept master plan, initial market findings and recommendations for review and comment. Three, the council authorises the general manager to engage with key stakeholders to discuss the Burley Street project. This includes discussion with owners of land and property being considered for purchase. And four, the council will be provided with a further report prior to the commencement of any sales process that outlines key market recommendations, details of any proposed joint venture agreement, details of the concept master plan, and that outlines the next steps for the project.
Okay. There being no further items, I'm going to... Oh, yes, we'll do that in closed when we do the thing. There being no other further items, I declare the meeting closed at 7 minutes past 8:00.